Okay, I'll reconvene the City of Lapine Planning Commission at approximately 7:06. And we will go directly to commission deliberations, starting with Gloria Fleming.
Personally, I think it's a good idea. Knowing that this was set aside at one point, this makes sense. I think it would be a big benefit to the community if this goes off as planned. So I'm for it.
Norman?
I'm also for it. There is a need for less expensive housing here. And I think the people were stepping up and trying to get a project through. Any questions I will have will be in the site plan to avoid some of the things we have had problems with in this community. And there is some serious points to bring up that we don't want to make that mistake again that predecessors have made. So, but I highly thank you for coming forward with the plan. We do need it. Lapine needs it.
Tom?
I agree. I'm for it. And I think that any questions that I have would be addressed to the site plan and the way the buildings are constructed and the way the property is to be maintained and so forth. That's the biggest thing to me.
Okay. I am completely in favor of the project. I think it's something that the city needs, and we have a use for it. We can certainly use the money and the fees. I have one, and I want to make sure it gets on the record, I have one main concern. If this is built 5 years from now, I don't want to look at it and say, God, what a horrible looking mess this is. It's going to have to be somewhere along the line. The owner is going to have to commit to keeping it looking good. It's right almost in the center of town. It's right there with a beautiful senior center. It's right there with two beautiful elderly houses. It's right next to Bymart. It's got to be built and maintained so that it looks nice. Otherwise, I'm totally in favor of it. So, I will entertain a motion on a vote to pass, say yes or say no.
I'll make a motion to have it rezoned from PF to CRMX.
Second the motion.
All right. Any further discussion? Okay, on the matter
Mr.
of
Chairman.
The public hearing to consider.
Mr. Chairman, I want to bring a point of clarification. You made the motion to rezone this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Make sure that we get the comprehensive plan amendment as well.
Okay.
So there's two things, the comprehensive plan map amendment and the zoning map amendment.
I was going to read it here.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just want to make sure that was done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the motion is to change the zoning map and the comprehensive plan map under file CPZC 2014-13, which is a land use application. On the 8.4 acres of land known as lot number 2, Newberry Neighborhood in Lapine, Oregon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Name and vote, please.
Don Greiner, aye.
Douglas Ward, aye.
Norm McClellan, aye.
Lori Fleming, aye.
Okay, the motion to change the zoning and the land use application is approved by the Planning Commission by unanimous vote. Okay? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Remember what I said.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other matters, under number 9, we have a discussion on medical marijuana and on training for the commission. So, Bill, you want to bring up the medical angle.
Okay, we can do that. Hey, Rick and I met with the city attorney yesterday, talking about medical marijuana dispensaries, and had this map prepared as initial. Actually, we talked about this back when I first came on board. Was it November, October, or something like that? Anyway,
September or October,
something like that. Anyway, this, I want to just make sure that you understand this is very preliminary, and it's not a draft, it's not a proposal on my part. This is just one way of, that we can think about medical marijuana dispensaries. The orange area is a 1,000 bush orange. Whatever that tan and color, which is a 1,000-foot radius around schools, that is the state law now. That's what they're saying. And so these are the commercial areas. This is a mixed-use commercial. This is a traditional downtown core commercial, showing in green. Those are the areas that could accommodate in the future medical dispensaries.
So we're talking about dispensaries, not grow houses.
No, not grow sites, just dispensaries, right. So, you know, I'm leaving it open to the planning commission for suggestions about whether to expand that radius or allow for medical marijuana dispensaries in industrial zones. That's another thought. You know, like the city of Woodburn did the medical marijuana dispensaries only allowed them in industrial zones.
Hey, Bill, the audience thinks you're having a private discussion up there.
You're
looking great at them.
Well, we're having a work session. So
we're
anyway,
all amateurs here. Don't push your luck.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather go sit down at the table there. But anyway, so that's what Woodburn did, and other cities have kept it in commercial areas and kept the 1,000-foot radius. Some cities have expanded the radius to 1,500 feet. Some people have said we are going to do the radius around not just schools, but daycare centers and parks and all kind of things. So, you know, I'm looking for some feedback from you folks here going forward, because we're going to be going to a public hearing on an ordinance probably in a couple of months.
Let me go through that. Jeremy's starting to draft up the ordinance. He gave us one. It got us too deep, I think, into some things. This was an earlier, and so there's been a lot. This is one thing about it, it's very fluid. In the last 2 days, I've had emails from, you know, Bend is just starting in February. Redmond is even after that. They're not sure what they're going to do. I'm meeting with Prineville tomorrow. So this is just kind of in flux. So to give you some specifics, I think that's ultimately what you want. Kind of what we kind of, after looking at Jeremy's and us spending time with him and I met a couple weeks ago on it, we would, the basic premise for a dispensary is they have to come here with a state license. In other words, just like a lottery or the oil, say a liquor license, you get your license from the state of Oregon. They do the background checks, make sure you're not a felon, those kinds of things. In Jeremy's original draft, he had us doing that again. And we don't have our own police department. And for us to go through and, you know, like the lottery, they want to know who's financing your business, because they want to make sure you're not some skullduggery. So our thought was, take the requirements that are pretty, there's a lot of them, we'll get you those. They come to us with the state license. Number one, you don't have that, you don't even get to, you know, first base. Then, and there's no order of these, because I was just kind of making up a list. Hours of operation, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. The theory is, you know, a drugstore is open about those hours. Bi-Mart's open until about 7. You don't need a dispensary open at midnight, because remember, this is a pharmaceutical need. not at 11 o'clock and I've left the bar and I want to run down on the way home, you know, that type of thing. And so we thought 9 to 7, and I think Bill thought that's reasonable. You know, you really probably shouldn't say 2 or 3 in the afternoon because drugstores are open until 6 or 7. So that was the theory. 7 days a week, you know, at one time I kind of thought, well, you could say close on Sunday, but we just didn't go there. You know, pharmacies are open on Sundays and so on. The 1,000 distance from the school is a state law. We thought that's fine. 1,000 distance. We added 1,000 distance from a public library, and that's specific to Lapine because we have one public library. And because of where it's located, that kind of takes, I call it historical downtown of Huntington, but that kind of then takes care of the parkland, the skate park, and all that area, because the schools will come out 1,000 feet. And then you have the 1,000 feet there, and that kind of encompasses the areas that we would want not to have it, kind of in the heart of our downtown. We didn't do parks, because the problem with parks were the triangle where the flagpole is over here, just right on 97, is that a park? The BLM has land over by the hotel. Is that a park? You start to kind of, and pretty soon, in this building's public property, and so that's why we stayed away, and we just said from a public library, knowing we'll only have one public library. Again, these are rough drafts. The other is, and this is a state law, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, 1,000 feet separation between dispensaries. So if you get one in a strip mall, you know, you're not going to have two of them next door to each other. They got to be 1,000 feet apart. And that is a state rule. We talked about limitation on size of signs, although we kind of struggled with that. Didn't really, we just thought, you know, if they're in a strip mall, they kind of got their little thing. And then the original draft had us limiting what they could even say on the sign, and we've been told that you can't do that. So we, you know, that's something for you to talk about. We could do that. We could have a specific, if you said, I only want them to be, you know, instead of a 32 square feet, we want to limit them to 20 feet or 18 feet. You know, that's something for you to talk about. But so far, Bill wasn't big on that. But again, so our draft coming out from Jeremy will not have a limitation. But that doesn't mean you couldn't in some way. We put down right now, and this is one for sure for you guys to work on, would be limited to the commercial, industrial, and mixed-use zones. We felt that commercial probably makes sense, but as Bill said, you other towns, some of them have said, just go to the industrial or go to industrial areas or commercial and industrial, and then mixed-use is residential sometimes and commercial. Not sure you want to go there. That might be one you say no. I think some of the cities, you know, if not that any of you have been to one, but if you've ever driven by a strip club in Portland, like I said, and I know none of you have entered one, but, you know, Columbia Boulevard is full of them. That's kind of where the heavy equipment, you know, Mr. Shields goes out and buys equipment, you know, on Columbia Boulevard, and you know, they're everywhere. So obviously the zoning has allowed them in and around the seedier parts of town, the industrial areas. A lot of cities probably are not going there, but that's a potential, or you can allow either or. So I think that's a good one for you guys to kind of, when we meet next month, to, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. It's kind of, commercial probably makes the most sense for obvious reasons, with the other limitations in place, 1,000 feet from everything. They'll have to get a business license, and we were talking about having then an additional fee that they would pay just for that license, so we'll have a new rate structure. We can do that by resolution, so they would apply for the business license, and maybe it's $250 for that license, and that's different than the tax. That's just because we have to do a little higher level of review. And then down the road, it could include, you know, we have a grow operation in Industrial Park now, and then we maybe would have recreational. Now, is that going into liquor stores? Is that going to go separate? Nobody knows, because those rules are, the legislature has about 24 bills introduced at this point. We won't know for 6 to 8 months on that. So that, I think the preamble or the over thing on this is probably what we adopt. Probably in a year to 2 years will be changed. Because all these other things are going to come together somehow, and don't ask us how. But we got to deal with just this. So the thought was, get a business license. The business license would be required like any other business. How are we, instead of $50, $40, we get a higher fee out of it. Accounting and audit, because we have our local tax, we need to be able to go in and audit. And to a degree, think of the transient room tax. The same way the motels submit the tax, but we have the right to go in and audit. We can hire a firm to go in and audit to make sure we're getting our cut. Now, with marijuana, it's a little more complicated because they tend to deal in cash. You're going to see that switch, I would say, in the next couple of years. Right now, the problem is they can't get bank accounts in federal deposit, FDIC banks, which means you can't get a Visa machine. So people still like to use debit cards. I mean, the people that are getting medical marijuana, I mean, they have debit cards and credit cards, and like everyone, they'd use it if they could. So I think that's a problem that will cure itself when you look down the road and the feds deal with it. The feds are running behind the laws. That's one of the problems. Yeah. And they're happier on anything out like this. You know, the elected officials at the state and federal level would prefer to run a mile behind the public. And that then creates a problem for us because we don't have that luxury because you've got to deal with it locally. So for right now, you're going to get all 100% cash customers by and large. A little harder to track. When you go to a motel, everyone pays with a credit card. And you can demand to see the monthly receipts from a credit card company, and you can kind of tell. But the state has some fees and taxes they do, and we're checking a little deeper into that. It's kind of like, you know, the federal, the IRS, the state of Oregon really follows the federal. When you file a tax return, the state tax return's minimal. It's basing your income off of what you included in your federal form. So if the same thing is, if they have to put their income into a state form, we would accept that number, and then we get our tax off it. We have the right to go in and audit and make them have systems that allow us to audit. If they say we're just doing it on a hand, you know, some notebook paper, we can go in and say, you know, not if you're going to operate in Lapine. You need to have some electronic records, and you need a better system. And the state keeps track of how much pot goes in the place. So if they bought 100 pounds this year, and then on the sales side, there's a market, and we all know that it sells for X amount, and there's a huge discrepancy, we'll know what they're doing. So in our rules, we'll be able to, you know, if they violate this, we can shut them down, you know. And so there'll be a lot of things on audit. A release of liability and indemnification was another area. Bill and I first thought, oh my God, what's that for? But they actually explained it, I thought, pretty good.
Yeah.
Somebody sues the dispensary. And everyone likes to sue government along with it because they figure, you know, the more the better. When you file lawsuits, you sue everybody. And the theory is that because the federal government, as of today, still has banned marijuana, but the federal government voted in December, Congress voted in December to allow or to not allow any prosecution under the law. That passed Congress at a very high vote. It was part of the budget bill, hid in the back, when they were arguing over the budget, and every night you watch the news on the budget, well, in the back of it, unrelated to the budget, was another little law. And it said the federal government would not prosecute anyone under the federal law in a state that has medical or recreational marijuana. The federal prosecutors aren't prosecuting it. No one's arresting on it.
Is it up to a certain amount? Or?
No. Well, it's whatever the medical marijuana laws are.
Yeah.
So here you have this weird thing where the feds say it's illegal, but they have by law ordered their officials not to enforce it.
What impact is traffic going to have on one of these? Do we have any idea?
Traffic meaning?
In where we place it, the traffic of people going in and out, the automobile traffic, foot traffic.
That'd be part of site plan, which is normal. kind of estimated?
Yeah, that would be the number of parking spaces and their access would all be controlled by their site plan, and they would have to prove that it's workable. And based on how many square feet, we would say you'd have to have this many parking spaces.
I get you. Okay.
Just like any outlet.
It's like a drugstore. It's going to be similar to that. I mean, you're not going to have, it's not going to be as much traffic as a restaurant, for instance, or fast food, especially a fast food restaurant.
Well, I wouldn't go there if I wanted an aspirin.
Well, they may have some. That's a good question, though. And then just kind of a few bullet, God, you say, no smoking on the premises. In other words, they don't get a test of product.
No samples.
Cannot be located in the same retail space or building with a grow site, smoking club, kind of tavern, bar. I think what we're trying to say is that theoretically, someone could open this up and say, you know, they're serving their micro brews, and then again, that gets into no smoking on the premises, and in other words, you go through that door, and they're selling it. And then this side, we're drinking beer, and see, you can smoke on this side, and they just walk over there to buy it. So we're kind of saying in the same building, and we'll have to fudge work on this, but we're trying to say it's a pharmacy. It's a drugstore. You go get your product, and then you go home like you would your medicines. And it's trying to keep the little game that we all know is really involved in this. You know. So, they needed to provide a secure disposal of the remnants, because then there's remnants left over and they sell this and have little remnants. And we thought that if it's just thrown out in the dumpster, just like people go through dumpsters for food, we will have people rummaging their dumpster for byproduct. So you want it locked up inside and taken care of, but it's just not going to sit out in a garbage can for everyone to come rummage through. It kind of sounds silly, but when you think about it, those are the things that you might have. And like I say, we'll adjust these over time.
Just make sure they don't have a burn barrel.
Yeah, well, that would be. No minors are allowed the premises under the age of 18 unless they're accompanied by an adult or if they have a prescription. No, I don't know how young you can be to have a prescription.
Six.
Okay, well, so I guess if an 8-year-old needs to fill his prescription, we're just saying you got to be under 18, you got to be accompanied by an adult, unless you, I guess, have a prescription to pick it up. We'll leave it at that. Air filtration and ventilation system. Jeremy put this into burns, and it's that you kind of want to confine the odors and things in there, because I guess that when you have lots of this product running around and people are opening and smelling and things, you know, it's in the air. So you want to have a kind of a filtration system, exhaust fan that keeps it filtered or something. It's going to be hard to enforce, but it's something that we're putting, we at least, again, that's one that could come out. It's, you know, how are we going to go down and enforce the smell outside? But these people that want to open these should be willing to try to, you know. And then they could manufacture extracts, oils, resins, or derivatives. So they're not in there baking and making stuff. That was edibles. We did not get it. Edibles, we decided that they can sell, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the problem is too many people use the edibles. And the state law says, and I think under our rule it will say, that they have to be marked with the quantity, the percentage, kind of like alcohol is 6.8%. And again, I don't know these things. But
the state was still hassling that over, weren't they?
Well, on medical, yeah. So they would have to label it with the percentage, so you know what you're buying. If Don goes in and buys a brownie, he needs to know it's not like 151, you know, that will knock him on his butt in his first bite.
They just had a medical marijuana alert in Sun River this weekend.
River.
Some woman passed out. Yeah,
had too much of it.
She had too many candies.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the problem with the edibles, they say, because if you smoke it, you know you smoked a joint. If it's in an edible, it's pure, and you don't know what they've put in. I mean, when Kitty bakes her brownies, she may put a double dose. You have to laugh a little with this, you know. But those are kind of the main, and there'll be lots of paragraphs with these, and you know, there'll be other legalese, but that's where we're kind of headed, and so we'll have an actual draft to read and throw darts at, but be thinking about, do you want it industrial zones? Do you want it mixed-use zones?
What about the number?
Well, we, and actually I should put that in my notes, we talked about that. That we figured the market will dictate it. You have to have 1,000 feet between them. And the problem that I was arguing with Bill on, and not that he wanted a number, but it is, we would have to have a whole bunch, how do we decide who gets it if you limit them? It's like the old liquor stores. They used to say you got three of them in a town. Well, what happens is the guy that's leaving town sells it under the table, and this is what they used to do. They would sell that location for an extra $100,000. I mean, actually, it could be $1 million, because I'm selling it to you. Does that mean it transfers? Does it start over? And all the other problem is when you'd have to have a system to decide who gets it. We have 10 applications for two spots. We're going to have to interview and vet these 10 with some criteria. And so we're like, that's a whole other many pages. Bill first says, well, it's the first one in, but the problem is it's like they will all show up at the door. Literally, if you said it's 8 a.m. on some date, they're all standing there with them.
The market is going to dictate. You're probably not going to get more than one.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe one down.
Well, the area we choose to let them be in also.
We've already had a couple of, you know, have been in meetings. It's two or three of them.
But a couple of them are within 1,000 feet of each other, so it won't happen.
Yeah.
And then, so my thought is maybe one out at Wikia, because you've got folks out in that day road and out that area, you know, and it's 3 miles away, and probably one in town.
And that's what I've heard, too. That's, you know, everybody's thinking the same thing.
Now, does that mean, you know, one thing you might find is, you know, there's going to be a rush. You may find three or four, but you know what will happen? They'll go broke. That, there is only so much market. And remember, Ben doesn't have a tax. So, just like people go to shop at Costco, if everyone's in Bend enough, Bend did not, we have a 15% or 20, I don't remember, 15 on medical.
15, I think.
15% tax.
I think it was 15 to 12, wasn't it?
12
15 12. On medical, yeah. And 12 on recreational.
Right.
So 12 on medical?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so 12%. Medical marijuana, when these people win, are generally spending $100 or $200. So you're talking $25. Say if it's $200 at 12%, they'll buy when they're in Bend. So you know that in Bend's charter, in order for them to add a tax of any kind, it has to be approved by the voters. So Bend couldn't just add it. It's in their charter. One of those things from decades back. Oops. So that's why they don't have it. Not because they didn't want it, maybe. I mean, I don't know, but that's, they couldn't. So, price will be an issue. So, that's kind of the main, like I say, there's, you know, a lot of was, as, and is, and, you know, those kind of things. But that's the basic rundown, because we had to give Jeremy some direction, you know, what to put in one.
So if you guys, you know, have some ideas now, we can talk about them, and Rick and I can take those back. Or if something comes to your mind in the next couple of weeks, put it in an email and send it to us. Or we could talk about this again next month. But I do know that because of the moratorium going off in May, we have to have something in place by April 1st in order to be effective by May 1st.
Yeah.
So that means we've got to have a hearing.
We really need you guys to kind
pretty
of
soon
approve recommendations at your February meeting, because the council would take it up in March, so it's ready, because it takes 30 days after that, so it's ready April, and be effective May 1. So, and plus the people wanting to do it are going to be need some lead time, because they're going to have lots of questions. That's kind of the timeline. And then again, I say we'll probably address it in a year. We can make changes if we find flaws. Is anything, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think what we're gonna find out is that we really don't know what we're talking about because state legislature doesn't know what they're talking about.
You know, that's more recreational.
We're gonna have to put together something next month, and you need to put it on the agenda for next month.
Yes, sir.
With the basic plan that we'd like to see, and then I'm sure that as time goes by, we're gonna have to change that plan because of what comes out of Salem.
That's right.
But most of this is medical now.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Yeah, this one, Doug, has got a law behind it, and it also has an Oregon administrative rule behind it by the Oregon Health Agency. Mm-hmm. So this has been in the works a lot longer than the recreational.
That's true.
But you're right, as far as the recreational, we don't know what's going to happen. Like Rick said, that'll be a year and a half. Then we'll find out, and then we'll have to make some changes and adapt to that. But with the medical, it's in place now. The legislature can adopt, you know, new laws and change it.
You never know.
They may marry some of these up. The Oregonian did an editorial a few weeks ago about saying they should be married up a little closer. And I made that comment in the bulletin Sunday or Saturday when there was a story. That, you know, there's, to try to keep these totally separate, you know, is only going to work so well because there is only the majority, you all know this, there's really the majority of the medical marijuana people are there because of the ban on recreational. Mm-hmm. And when you recreational is available, the number of people using medical marijuana should decline. You know, why would you go get a light? Why would you go to a doctor to get a prescription if, in fact, you can go to the drugstore and buy it? I mean, you can go to the liquor store and buy it.
And which is cheaper?
And yet, see, the other, but now you mention that when you then go to a higher tax, in some places did no tax on medical, like a 20%, some cities, and a 20% on recreational. Well, guess what? I'm going to keep being a medical person because I can avoid the 20% tax. And if you get too far out of whack with all this, the black market continues, and nobody even, you know, medical marijuana is providing the pot for the black market. And then cops can't keep track of this. I mean, the plant doesn't come with a stamp on it.
But Rick, you know, you're talking about the difference on tax. Look at gasoline, for instance. If you drive to Bend, you can get it 10 cents cheaper. Well, are they going to drive to Bend to save 10% on their tax if they don't have to? I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense. Just like buying gas. If you happen to be in Bend and you buy it,
right.
But if you need gas here, you're not going to walk.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. No, it just means that if you're in Bend, you're shopping and doing things.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think it's an issue.
I was at a class last night that actually was discussing, and there is a great deal of discussion going on right now within the mental health community about marijuana and the discrepancies between the doctors that are just giving out the prescriptions and the people that really need it.
Right.
And I just see a tremendous amount of information that will be coming out in the next 6 months or so. So, you know, I know we have to do something, but I would just do what we basically have to do and wait until the chips fall and then go from there. I mean, if we're locked in for a year, I don't like that very much.
I mean, you start going to change this every few months. I mean, you have to let it play out.
We could revisit it in a year.
Whenever you need to. What I'm saying is, you're not going to revisit it 60 days later. No, there's no, we're not locked for a year. You just, you know, I mean, you don't generally change ordinances, you know, all the time. So I think you have to look, the legislature is not out till July 1st. Anything they do, the governor then gets to sign or veto, and then it's got so many days. So in reality, you're talking a year before that. You'd probably take effect January 1. And under recreational, it's July of 16 is when all the rules have to be in place. There's, as of July of 15, you can at home grow four plants for personal use. But the laws on the other rules actually are a year later. And there'll be some court challenges, possibly.
Yeah.
But I think we discussed these, just what you mentioned here, come back next week, we'll be able to decide.
You're going to find these incorporated in a,
right,
in a document. And I can even send you my little, I have this in more of a bullet point, just a, you know, a couple sentences with the things I just mentioned to you. And so
that'd be good for
just kind of, you know, like say Jeremy, you know, they always get all these paragraphs that are, all this.
Why don't you email that to each one of us?
Yeah, I will. I'm working on this still. And I was waiting, so I have this out. I got it in draft form as if you guys were to jump up and down. If you said I want them to open at 4 a.m. or, you know, or I'm, you know, I could get a feel for if you had some feeling. But we argued this around enough that I think we're within that realm of normalcy. And if you get too weird, that's when you get sued. I think it's going to be very interesting to see. The police are really, they don't know. I mean, right now they hardly can't even write a ticket on marijuana, even if you're a drug dealer, because how do they know?
Well, the doctors can't even agree among themselves.
No.
You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff with the psychiatrists and the mental health workers going back and forth.
Yeah.
So I'm completely confident that we can put together next month a package that will cover basics of what we're trying to do here and follow the law. And then as things change, if they do, we'll have to go back and revisit it.
Yeah.
But we need something down, and we need something to send to the council. The council needs to approve something.
Yeah.
So that we're covered. I don't see any problem with doing that next month. We all, you know, it's actually pretty simple. Where are they going to be? How many are they going to be? What hour are they going to be? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Anything else on the staff?
No, that's it for us.
Okay, Gloria, you had something to
add? Well, I just wanted to ask if we had talked the last time about some kind of training. Have you looked at anything or thought of anything or when we could do it? Or?
It's been in the back of my mind. I will say that I haven't put anything together, but this is going to prompt me to put some more thought to it. And think about in the next couple of months, maybe proposing some kind of an agenda, and you know, have a little give and take, because I want to know what you folks want. I know what I can give you as far as a training agenda, but I'd like to throw it out and then maybe get some feedback from you on it. So I'll probably do that. I'll probably send you an email here in a couple of three. I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. So you might not get it for another 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but I'll send it out and then we'll have a little dialogue and then we'll put something together.
I know Rolando was, you know, he was quite concerned about it because he feels very, you know, kind of at a loss.
Mm-hmm.
He would like to know more, you know.
Okay. So. Well, this hearing tonight, in and of itself, was a good training. It's good. You folks did quite well, actually, for that.
Well, I was thinking that maybe if the city would sponsor a weekend in Vegas, we could
have
all the training we wanted to.
Well, yeah, I could go for that. I could go for that.
All right, planning commissioner comments. Anybody else have anything to say? No? Me neither. Okay, well, staff, have anything else to say?
No,
anybody,
sir.
In the audience want to say anything? No? Good. Glad to hear it.
We just, you know, Doug keeps sending me code complaints, but we're working on them all. We've got the county working on a couple. We sent a couple of letters last week on some, and then we just kind of keep working around. So they're kind of ongoing, and I think that he sent you a list of some little projects, you know, applications around that have come in. You heard, I'm very glad to hear the comments you made to those folks, because you will see the types of things you were talking about we raised, and now they've made some changes, so they were ready, and we haven't even talked, so we gave the same message, And they did make some changes. There's now on-street parking. There's sidewalks on one side. They've added some length to avoid the Huntington Meadows types of messes. And there'll probably be more of that when you guys take them up. So we did a pre-site plan meeting. And so they'll come back with a site plan meeting and we'll hit them up some good. You guys will then get them. And by then they should have a pretty good idea of the product should be.
We softened them up for you.
Well, in 5 years, I don't want to have to look at another Huntington Meadows. And I didn't, you know, want to say too much, but that's a mess out there, and this is a really good idea. But it can turn into a real disaster if we let it.
Yeah.
And it's right in downtown. Everybody's going to see it.
Well, I had a guy in today that was looking at a lot line adjustment on a project, and we got him, and he's not applied yet. Or, well, I guess he has applied. You're working on that. But I don't know. It's kind of like this, the second part of the discussion, which is more of a site plan. So we were talking about the problems, and he mentioned like an HOA. Well, Huntington Meadows has a homeowners association. You know, you have one at Crescent Creek, but it's funded enough to function. And this was going to be about 10, 12 single family homes, call it. And that's going to be an HOA. Well, that is dead on arrival. You can have it. You could come in here and get you to think. But the reality is, if someone's going to pay in 10, 20 bucks a month, you don't have enough money to enforce anything. You don't have enough structure of people to be president, vice president, to call meetings. And so they'll lull you into, oh, we're going to solve these issues, like when people put junk outside, they store a trailer on the street. The HOA will ban it. But the HOA isn't going to have any teeth or ability to actually take care of it. And so I told him, I said, you know, an HOA for that small development, in that type of development, would never work. You know, you can set it up all you want, but it won't work. You've got to have a more sophisticated kind of larger development. And in Matters, I've seen where they've tried to do these HOAs in smaller developments. None of them function. No. So that we're trying to keep problems from getting started so there aren't problems 5 and 10 years down the road. But it's easy, you know, it's a little tougher said than done.
Okay. I'll be done. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
And vote.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Oh, I didn't get to vote.
Oh, I thought I heard you, Don.
What are you waiting?